the Initial Reaction podcast, where, like Buck Showalter, we always save our very best stuff for some other time. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I'm with Lake Country Publications and Now Newspapers.
Oh, that makes me so sad. I can't even joke about that just because that was so dumb. My name is J.P. Gadorin from Time Warner Cable Sports Channel. And the Orioles are out of the playoffs, just like that, huh?
Yep, we are recording this on Wednesday morning, and mere hours removed from the Toronto Blue Jays winning on a walk-off home run by Edwin Encarnacion in the wild card game, apparently because Buck Showalter felt his Cy Young candidate closer was just going to pitch later in the game or something. I don't know. One of the more baffling moves in Major League Baseball history. I mean, it really is a historic blunder, I think.
It was so bad it was raining cats, dogs, and beer bottles? No?
Yes? No? No, I don't think so. That was earlier.
No. Come on, Toronto. It's just, I really want to root for the Blue Jays because my dad is from Toronto and I have nothing, you know, I don't have an AL rooting interest for anything. So Blue Jays are kind of my AL team and just quit throwing stuff. It shouldn't be that hard.
Have we discussed that your dad is from Toronto? I mean, that makes you Canadian, doesn't it?
It does, yes. I was, I had dual citizenship up until I was 18.
Oh,
yeah.
So much makes sense now. I get why you're into the hockey thing and.
Right? Wow. Yeah, that's all real.
So, JP Gadorin of Time Warner Cable Sports Channel and Canada representing the Great North on the podcast this week. We've got some high school football to chat about. JP and I are going to rank our favorite football stadiums. I had a pretty cool experience this past weekend at my number one stadium, so I can tell you about that a little bit. And there's also a little Badgers to get to. They lost to Michigan. And yeah, so where were you for the high school game on Friday? What did you see?
Friday night, I saw history, JR. I saw history. I was... As part of my duties for my lovely employer, I covered the Appleton Green Bay markets as well. So I was up in God's country in Appleton, seeing the Kimberly Papermakers chase that elusive win number 49 that nobody in the state has been able to do of winning 49 straight games. And they took down Appleton West and made history. So they passed Manitowoc Lincoln, I think from the 80s, and Wanakee from the 2009 to 2012 seasons. And they won their 49th game in a row. 14-0, 14-0, 14-0, and now 7-0 with no clear end in sight as they look just as good as they have in the past.
We kind of touched on this streak last week, and I think what makes it so compelling for me, I mean, there are a lot of smaller schools throughout the state that have this air of dominance about them, and when they get into conference, they're just not going to lose a game. Occasionally, they'll schedule someone tougher in non-conference play and drop a game here or there to prevent them from having a streak like this. But we've seen powerhouses before. To me, what's crazy is this is Division I. There are no larger schools that they could be competing against, and they're competing in the Valley, which has some pretty tradition-heavy programs. They're not fighting against teams that are down on their luck year after year. I mean, they're going up against some of the best, and then they get to state and they beat teams like Arrowhead back-to-back years. I mean, they're playing the absolute cream of the crop. Marquette, right.
Yeah. Marquette's fallen victim.
Level four,
Marquette has fallen victim. I think, were you referring to like the Edgars and Stratfords of the world up north where they have won so many state championships in a row and all that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, nothing against those programs. Yeah. I mean, they're very elite and well-coached and have all the elements.
If you get a couple good players or a good coach or something like that, you instantly have such a huge edge that others don't. But like you mentioned, I mean, they're now in the VFA, used to be the FVA, and I guess it still is for every sport other than football. But anyway, you know, Oshkosh North was in the title game against Kimberly. So there were actually two FVA teams at one point in the state title game. Appleton North has been a ranked team for years in Division I that they've beaten, well, now every year for the last 3 or 4 years. And then the other thing that's crazy about it is, like, it's one thing if you win 4 straight state titles or 3 state titles or whatever, because that's getting the best overall team that season. You know, especially in the playoffs, you have to be the best. But that's, you know, you can allow yourself to slip up. But for them to never have a slip up, to never have an off day, or if you do have an off day, be good enough to recover from it, is incredible.
Yeah, I think when I went to high school in Kaukauna, which is Kimberly's next door neighbor, we had a pretty good rivalry for a while, And when I was there, Kaukauna was the much bigger school enrollment-wise. Kimberly was definitely Division II level school in a lot of sports. Its enrollment went up. The school got remodeled. They got a lot of new facilities and everything. I mean, and now they've risen to the point where they're at this level. What do you sense about that? You've been around that program a lot more than I have. What is it that has enabled them to do this night in, night out? Is it that they have the best facilities so you get, I don't want to suggest anything nefarious, but kids are more apt when they're growing up to want to play for Kimberly than other Fox Valley programs. Is it that the coaching is just that much better than anybody else out there? I mean, obviously they have a good thing going in that department. I mean, give me some of the elements, and obviously I'm sure they have a good weight room and things like that, but a lot of programs have that. So what is it that Kimberly has that other programs can't compete with?
Well, clearly it's great coaching if the one and only Coach Jones is out there listening.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just like any successful program. It's a snowball of things, and one thing just leads to another. You can't just have good kids. You need to have good coaching, which then attracts young kids. It makes kids want to be in the program. If you see winning, then kids want to be a part of winning. If you see winning, you don't want to be the team that doesn't win, so then there are higher expectations. There are resources. There are certain things that they have that other schools don't have, and it's a snowball effect. It's the same as what goes on at Arrowhead. I mean, it's a culture that people want to be a part of and you want to work hard for, and so it's just, I mean, it's, they buy into a routine, a process, and when you get kids buying in to the way things are done, good things happen. So, I mean, it's not a surprise because, again, it's just kind of, it's the recipe. It's that snowball effect that every program hopes to get.
I have to think it's nice for the coaching staff to have this out of the way because I'm sure there are going to be times where the streak is so important to these players that it would compel you to do things you might not do against opponents you're clearly going to beat, like play starters a little bit longer because, you know, you just want to make sure you got to keep that streak alive. And now maybe that, I would think there's a little bit of flexibility now. I mean, there's not much season left because once you get to the playoffs, there are, you know, there's no flexibility, but I would think that this is a pretty big relief as much as anything for a lot of people around the Kimberly program.
Yeah, and it was really interesting to me because I was so curious of how do you handle this? You know, your goal as a program is not to win 49 straight at all. Your goal is, you know, I'm sure they'll say get better every week and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, your goal is to win the state title. So you would much rather go 5-4 during the regular season and then win the state title than amass any sort of streak. So I was curious how he was going to handle this, you know, how the whole team was going to handle it. And he actually did acknowledge it before the game and after the game. And after the game, you know, it wasn't that he let his players take a picture with the scoreboard. He told them, let's go over to the scoreboard, take a picture, and remember this because it's a huge deal. And I just think it was really interesting to see a kind of a big picture moment in a team that's so focused on the process, on each little picture, on each small thing, to see them have that big picture moment. So it was, I mean, I'm not from Kimberly, and I don't, you know, necessarily care either way. I don't have a bias for or against them, but it was awesome to see that program celebrate such a cool thing because nobody has ever done it in Wisconsin before. I mean, that's an incredible thing to watch.
We know that the Germantown basketball team won a bunch of state titles, but we really remember that streak in a big sense in terms of leaving a legacy. We remember that. And so I would agree with that viewpoint. This program has won state titles, several of them, and this is a chance to really do something that's going to be remembered for generations. I mean, we'll always have the list of teams that won the state title. We'll always remember that Kimberly won a bunch of them, but we're definitely going to remember that they have this winning streak, unless there's another team right behind them who comes up and snaps that winning streak at some point. Of course, for that to happen.
26-2 again.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to beat Kimberly in the near future. I'm not sure that's going to happen, so I don't know where this particular streak is even going to end. They're a pretty powerful team.
No, I mean, I mean, they're certainly the D1 power. I think Bayport looks awfully good right now. I'm pretty sure that they would be in Division I. I certainly think Arrowhead could play with them. Other than that, though, as far as teams in Milwaukee or the Valley, I mean, it's Kimberly right now. I don't know. I haven't checked in on the Hudsons or Veronas or Middletons or anything like that. But, I certainly would not pick anybody over Kimberly right now.
Hudson's having to fight just to get into the playoffs. That happened last year after they really gave Arrowhead a scare. They had to really work to get into the playoffs. It's a tough sledding up in the northern part of the state with some of those powerful D1 programs. There's some pretty good football up there. If you have a chance, slide over to lakecountrynow.com. You can check out my Preps Alcove from last week, which looks at the Division I situation for Milwaukee area football teams and how maybe their stranglehold on Division I is in jeopardy. JP, Milwaukee team has been in the state championship game every year since 1984. That's the last time Milwaukee's been shut out of the state championship game. Very real risk this year, based on how the, you know, brackets get laid out, that we won't have a Milwaukee area team in the state title game this year. So that's interesting. And this week on My Preps Alcove, I'm going to look at some projections that Travis Wilson over at Wisp Sports did to arrive at the playoff football field. I'm putting them into groups of eight, which is what the WIAA will do. Try to imagine where teams are going to fall, who they might be matching up with in the first couple rounds of the playoffs.
I've seen you do it before. It is next level nerdery that you do, and yes, it is certainly appreciated for people who, you know, have things to do with their lives and want to not do that. So it's appreciated. Your nerddom does not go unnoticed.
Yes, I realize that. It is a big math problem. It has a lot to do with math and geography more than actual prognosticating, although there is a little bit of that too.
So that was my Friday night then.
Yes, very good. My Friday night, I will tell you about when we talk about our favorite stadiums to see, because there's one. Nice. There's one that it does fall into the top five. Real quickly though, Michigan, Wisconsin, the Badgers lost 14-7 on Saturday, ugly defensive battle, and Wisconsin came out on the short end. I think we all thought they would lose one of these early games, especially in this front four of the Big Ten schedule. They kind of surprised us with how dominant they were against Michigan State. Couldn't quite get that scoring, that equalizer against Michigan in the late stages of that game. I'm still encouraged. I don't know how you feel about it, but yeah, even though their offense is not going to be a powerhouse by any means, the defense is so good, and I'm still really encouraged by that game.
Yeah, I think you can go both ways with it. I think, first of all, it's very much so worth pointing out that Michigan missed, what, three field goals?
Yes. Oh, right? Definitely. So, Michigan dominated that game. That is,
yeah.
Yeah. Michigan should have won that game, and they did.
Again, so you can go both ways with it. You can say that, you know, Michigan absolutely controlled the game, should have scored more points, almost did score more points. You know, they played kind of poorly, and they still won. Or, I mean, and I have no problem going positive on this, that you almost went on the road and won. Think of how many things went wrong with your day and how bad your quarterback play was and a lot of other things, and you still almost beat them. I mean, you were one play away. So I think there are positives. I think at the beginning of the year, I said that Wisconsin would win at Michigan State and lose at Michigan. So it technically shouldn't be surprising, the things that they've done, but yet when they were dominant at apparently a pretty bad Michigan State team, by the way.
Yes. Oof.
That's been a lot quieter than I thought it would be this week. Anyway.
Do you think, having seen the Badgers now with a couple Big Ten games under their belt, have a chance against Ohio State in a couple weekends?
I think they have a chance as much as any team has a chance. You know, it's college football. Anything can happen. But no, I certainly think that Ohio State is one of the best teams in the nation, and I don't think Wisconsin is. I think that a night game at Camp Randall gives them an extra, like, 5 or 6 points, you know? I think it helps them stay a lot closer than it would be, but I still think that Ohio State wins and wins pretty comfortably.
Yeah, this has been a crazy year where the schedule has just the appearance of it changes over the course of time. I mean, LSU, that win, clearly LSU didn't play very well in that game, but then to lose a couple weeks later against Auburn really changes sort of how you look at that game, and then Michigan State struggling as soon as losing to Wisconsin and then losing again in the Big Ten right away. I mean, that certainly changes your opinion of Sparty.
That's what's crazy, too, is, like, you can make all these cases. You can make whatever case you want to help your theory, you know? You can make the case that Michigan State is a terrible team. You know, you can say that they beat Notre Dame, who isn't any good because they keep losing. All they've beaten is Furman and Notre Dame, you know, and they've lost these other two games. And so it's just fascinating the way you can do it. Or you can spin it as Indiana and Wisconsin beat a great Michigan State team, and so now Indiana is going to be a force to be reckoned with Ohio State this upcoming weekend.
Yeah.
You know, you can just spin all these things all these different ways,
which is part of why college football is so appealing, is because it's all about who you played and how you did when you played them, because it's subjective as opposed to the NFL, which is completely objective. It just counts the number of wins and that's that. So it's fascinating, and I have no idea where this is going to turn. I mean, you could also say that based on the results so far, Wisconsin is going to smoke Iowa when they play them in 2 weeks. But who knows? Because Iowa is still a talented team. They just happened to lose to Northwestern, beat Rutgers, and lose to North Dakota State on a last-second field goal. So this season is so fun already for me. I absolutely love it.
Indiana does play Ohio State, as you mentioned. We'll see if that narrative of Indiana being a force stays intact through October 8th. And then the big game, October 15th, Wisconsin playing at home at night at 7 o'clock our time, Central Time, on ABC against Ohio State. That's going to be a buzzworthy occasion. You remember the last time Wisconsin played Ohio State at Camp Randall at night. They were facing Terrell Pryor and the number one ranked Buckeyes, and the Badgers came away victorious in that one. That was a pretty big deal. So, I believe that was that on a Saturday night as well? It must have been. I was thinking it might be on a weird night of the week, like a Thursday night or something, but it was definitely Saturday.
No, to my knowledge, they've only had one Thursday night game, and that was the opener against UNLV, I want to say like 2011.
Got it.
Where it was, I want to say 95 degrees at kickoff, something
delightful.
Like that. It was insanely hot.
Let's talk about something else that involves our coverage of football games in person and the comfort therein. We will talk about our favorite football stadiums at the high school level in the mine are all in the Milwaukee area. You, I know, could go beyond those borders pretty regularly, so you will probably have a little bit more of a wide open field. We did not discuss these prior to getting on the air, but we have not discussed them prior to today. So we made our lists independently of each other, and I wanted to bring this up mainly because, I've been thinking about this the last couple of weeks, just which stadiums are my favorite. A lot of them are pretty similar, especially now that they all have field turf. And I wouldn't say that there's a huge difference between two pretty high-quality stadiums. But at the same time, this past weekend, I was at a game where they've moved the stands to one end of the field, to the end zone. And that really impacts how you experience the game, and the cheering when there was a touchdown, you heard the cheering from like two different areas, and it felt like a college game or a very well attended high school game where there's fans all the way around, like at a big playoff game or something. Sort of the wave of cheering that sort of arises from that, starting in one place, picking up in another place. Kind of hard to explain, but definitely made me appreciate the high school football experience more, having it set up that way. And not a lot of stadiums do that, where they have primary seating for the students in one end zone. Occasionally there'll be some bleachers, auxiliary bleachers here or there, but not set up like that. So I really enjoyed it, and again, I'm not saying which stadium that is, because it's high on my list, and I'm going to get to it in a second. But so for starters, before we dive in, what do you look for when you're trying to decide whether a stadium is good? I have a couple selfish things, but what do you really consider if you're saying what is a good high school football stadium?
For me, I think it's everything around the turf in terms of just it's like the setting around it. So in the ones that I picked, they're usually kind of picturesque. Either they're in a bowl or they're surrounded basically like in a forest. It's everything around it. And usually I think all of mine, well, most of them will have big stadium or big bleachers on both sides, because I hate when it's, you know, the home team gets a huge side that they usually never fill, and then the visitors get this tiny little thing that they can't fit into.
Right.
So I don't like that very much. So that's kind of what I'm looking for, is the setting around everything else.
Okay, so you're number five stadium, Whitefish Bay.
Yes.
Tell me why you like Bay.
Yeah, and so that's the one outlier that I was thinking of as I was saying that, because Whitefish Bay only has one side of stands, but the other side, I just think it's cool. The stadium is right in the middle of that community. On the one side, there's just a street. I mean, there's bleachers on one side. On the other, it's the street and a fence that people can line that fence and watch the game from there. And I think it looks cool. We do games from there all the time, because that's a playoff venue, and that's usually Whitefish Bay has a pretty decent team. So the way it looks on TV, I think, makes it look pretty good too. So that was my number five.
when I say selfishly, things that I look for that yeah. don't really have a bearing if I'm trying to rank stadiums, but I like stadiums that have press boxes on both sides because that means I will actually get to be in the press box if I choose to be. There's a lot more room. Coaches can be on one side, press and sort of auxiliary staff, you know, people filming the game, things like that. They can be on the other side. I do like that. I get that at McGuanago, which is my number five. I love having that freedom and that space. I've become more of a guy who stands on the sideline anyway, so that's less important. I like fields that have a lot of parking that are easy to get to, but the thing I love about McGuanago, and we talked about earlier in the podcast how I'm from Kakana, I'm from the Fox Valley. And what I saw growing up in high school is different from what I cover in Milwaukee in that there's a definite community identity in the Fox Valley between the cities. They're in close proximity, but if you're from Neenah, that's a big thing to you versus being from Kimberly or Menasha. I mean, you really connect with your community. And when I would go to Kakana home games, it felt like the whole city was really shutting down for Friday night for the home game. You don't get that in Milwaukee area, and I think there's a lot of obvious normal reasons why that is. But in McGuanago, it's still sort of, it's this big city. It's not far from Milwaukee, but it's far enough that I think they have a real identity there, a real community identity. And that translates in the football games. I mean, the stands are always pretty full. There is a feeling that the whole town is focused on this particular game. They just added field turf recently, so that's really added to the experience. I do like the two press boxes. There's plenty of parking to get in and get out fairly easily. So I'm a big fan of what McGuanago has from sort of an environment standpoint, an enthusiasm standpoint.
Yep, and I totally get it. I've said before on this very podcast that the Fox Valley high school football is more of a thing there. I think in Milwaukee it's more about who the best players are and kind of what's convenient. Whereas, I feel like in the Valley it's more, like you said, the town shuts down or that part of town shuts down and it goes to the game.
And it makes perfect sense in Milwaukee because there's a lot of crossover in terms of you're friends with guys from other communities pretty regularly, club sports and stuff like that. You're not going to have that sort of, I don't want to call it adversarial, but there isn't that line in the sand rivalry that you have in different parts of the state. So it makes sense. It's just different in McGuanago. Your number four is actually not a high school site. It's a college stadium, and it's home to typically Catholic Memorial. You'll see a lot of other football teams play there at Carroll University, and since high school teams do play there, it counts.
And now I just realized that those first two both don't have stands on both sides. But what Carroll does is Carroll is so enclosed. There's the big grandstand on the one side, but then the other side is kind of shut off and it's walled off, and it just feels like this. It's an intimate atmosphere, which is really cool, and they have really nice facilities of, I assume they're locker rooms. I've never been in because I'm not cool enough, but you know, those kind of locker rooms on the one end zone, and then it's walled off with the scoreboard on the other end zone. So I think it just kind of more intimate, that you could see a really good game or something special, even when it's not that great of a game there.
I don't like Carroll. I certainly like being inside the stadium. That's fine. I don't like that. It's why I sort of disqualified Hart Park from my top five. I think Hart Park, when you're standing in there, is pretty great. But you have to park a long way away. You have to get there really early.
So you're big on logistics.
I am huge on logistics. Now, I like environment, and I like, you know, aesthetic beauty as well. But if the logistics, if I'm frustrated getting in and out of there, then I get really, it just isn't the same experience for me. See, I don't know if fans feel that I feel.
Exactly. I took all that out. I learned long ago to try and never complain to the general public about anything involving media. So like anything involving a press box or anything involving parking or tickets or anything like that, that it is a big faux pas to complain. So I'm basically saying I'm a bigger person than you, and you're whining.
Well, and that's completely fair of you, even as false as it is. But the thing is, I'm not even trying to look at it as a media person. I don't feel burdened covering a game there. I would feel burdened, and we've talked about Camp Randall in the past, what I don't like about Camp Randall. I'm looking at that from a fan's perspective. I'm not going to complain about my job. It's fun. I get to go up to the press box and cover football. How cool is that? But to get there, like if I'm from a visiting school and I got to drive up there and it's a couple of, you know, 30 minutes away or whatever, it matters. It's frustrating.
Yep. All right. So what was your number four then, huh, smart guy?
My number four has plenty of parking. It's Jasquich Stadium in Kenosha, the site of Kenosha Indian Trail High School. Love this place.
So, I have parked on the street several times. Now, granted, the street is still very close to the stadium.
Yes.
But I don't know if you want to say it's ample.
Well, you should get there earlier is what it comes down to, Mr. Media Man.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page there. I love it there because it's new, first of all. So that's sort of,
yep.
I mean, everything, the lights are really bright there. It's a weird thing, but there's a lot of room. It feels like a perfect venue for a big game, and you'll see a lot of level 3, level 4 games there. It has turf, of course. I just really like it, and it's not necessarily a setting that you would say is out of the ordinary or special or anything. I do like these stadiums where if you're going to a night game and you are even a couple miles away and you know where you're headed because you can see the glow of the stadium lights in the distance.
Yeah.
Sometimes that would be every stadium depending on what's in the way, but definitely you get that with Jasquich and in Kenosha. And you know, coming from Milwaukee, it's a little bit of a road trip and it's like, oh, I've reached my destination. I can see the aura of that stadium in the distance, and it's a great place to see a football game.
Yes, I love pulling up and being able to see the lights from a couple blocks away. I agree with you there. I think there is something about those lights. I don't know what it is. I also think it might have something to do with, like, the fact that Indian Trail usually wears black jerseys.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the bright light, because there's something there. You're right. I don't know what it is, but there is something there.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is Friday Night Lights, after all, so maybe the lights themselves can sell a stadium. We actually have the same number 3 stadium, both of us.
Yeah.
It's your old stomping grounds at Arrowhead High School.
It is. I mean, it's a monstrosity. It's something you cannot see anywhere else in the state. I mean, people can make fun of it and hate Arrowhead all you want because there are, in theory, luxury boxes at a high school stadium. But that's an incredible feat to pull off. And if you haven't seen it, it's amazing. And not only that, but there's a lot of stands to go around. So they can be hosting, if they're not in them, they can be hosting some big playoff games. The one drawback is that the visiting stands are a little on the small side, but they usually can still accommodate. So good enough for me and good enough to be my number 3.
That the grandstand you're talking about is on par with any major college football stadium. Not major, but any small college, you know, grandstand that you're going to see, just with the massive press box, and they have suites in there and tons of seating. They were the first field in the state, I believe, to go to turf field. That was long before all these renovations were made.
2005, I want to say.
Yeah,
I think it was the year like after I left.
Oh yeah, they have since replaced the field turf. I mean, it outlived its expectancy there, and it's just a sharp place. It's just top notch, and. You know, they really obviously at Arrowhead put a lot of money into their athletics programs, they've got a lot of resources, and it shows. It feels like one of the top high school venues in the state when you go in there. And I think for me, a lot of the stadiums that I really like, I have tied to very specific memories, and I've seen a couple pretty memorable games there just because Arrowhead is usually one of the top teams in the state. I remember 2011 being there during Game 5 of the National League Division Series when Niger Morgan hits the game-winning single in the 10th inning to beat the Diamondbacks. So I'm pacing back and forth, getting updates on the Brewer game while watching Arrowhead play Waukesha West in an excellent football game. So that definitely contributes to my appreciation for a venue like that.
Nice. And a lot of parking for you especially. There is North Campus, South Campus, tennis courts, hockey rink, staff lot. There are a lot of parking spots there for you.
And still I park in a neighborhood because I don't like the bottleneck to get out of there. That's a
really?
That is a media complaint, to complain about traffic leaving
you.
A venue, the bottleneck.
That's on you.
But I've learned, I mean, you got to know where to park to be smart enough to avoid that. So yes, it would be on me if you get stuck in that bottleneck.
Yes.
Your number 2 stadium is also a college venue.
Yeah,
it's not
kind
from the
of, yeah.
not from the Milwaukee area. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this is, I'd never been there before last Friday night. It's technically called Roberts Field at the Banta Bowl, but it's on the campus of Lawrence University in Appleton, and kind of an old historic field that just got redone, I want to say last season. And it is just fantastic. I loved it. I loved being there. Two sides of big grandstands, and it's sunk down kind of deep below ground level. And that is just the ultimate for me. When you can get, again, like I was saying with Carol, it kind of feels so intimate. It was just fantastic to be there, especially in the environment. So you were just talking about being tied to specific memories. Well, for me, I just witnessed history there. I witnessed, you know, the 49th win
for the Papermakers. So that was really cool to be a part of that. And the way that it's constructed with trees lining one end zone, there actually isn't a field goal net to catch the ball after it's kicked on one side. And so for whenever anybody scored there on last Friday night, there were a bunch of kids that then would go into the forest and look through all the trees to see where the ball landed. So I had never been there before Friday, so if we would have done this last week, it wouldn't have even been on my list. But it is a spectacular venue, and I hope to be back there many times.
I never saw a game at Banta Bowl growing up, but I remember seeing the facility just driving through Appleton and sort of the seeing it sort of in a valley. I mean, it's just a really cool setting, and it's very close. I mean, Lawrence University is right on what they call the Ave and College Avenue in downtown Appleton, and it's right in the middle of everything, and yet it doesn't feel like a bustling metropolis when you're in that area. It feels like this sort of, I don't know, Central Park type atmosphere, this pasture in the middle of it all. So a really cool best of both worlds situation there.
Absolutely.
My number two is probably a little bit different. It's Sussex Hamilton High School, and I keep trying to think why.
That surprised me when you said that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think why I like it so much. I do enjoy it. They have like these hedges in the end zones, beyond the end zones, that I always thought was a little bit of a different look. It's got turf field. It's got the dueling press boxes that I like. But honestly, I can't put my finger on it. It's got parking.
It's got a video scoreboard.
It was the first to install that particular style of video scoreboard, along with they put that in the gym as well. Hamilton to me is kind of that. It is that perfect blend of big city school with still some small school sensibilities. Like when I'm in that gym,
wow, you trying to get on a postcard there.
Yes, I'm writing a brochure for Sussex Hamilton High School. Yeah. When I'm in that gym, which is a little bit smaller than, it's not a field house, it's just it's a gym. It feels like I'm in the Fox Valley again. That's kind of what it reminds me of. It's a very Fox Valley feel in there. And the football stadium is similar to me. It's not going to create traffic snarls all the way around. I mean, it's a fairly remote location of the high school, so we're not talking about being inside a neighborhood or being in an unusual spot. I just really like it there. It's just a very pleasant experience.
It's funny you say that about the gym being small and reminding you of the Fox Valley because of the monstrosity that they put next to it, which I've still never been in, but I have heard about.
Right, a multi-purpose facility that was the first of its kind. Think the Don Hudson Center on a smaller scale, which the idea is to have an extra indoor space. Instead of a field house, you have like this additional facility. And of course, Kirkconnell High School, my alma mater, went ahead and built one of their own, and they probably did it even a little bigger and a little better, if I had to guess, since it was a little newer. But I actually haven't been inside the Hamilton one either. We had a lot of photos of it when it was being built, and I've certainly seen what it looks like in there. But yeah, I have not been in there. I would love to check it out.
There you go.
Your number one surprised me because it is not one of the bigger programs in the area. So that surprised
me. It's nowhere near. It is one of the absolute smallest. Have you ever been?
I have been there, but not for a football game. I've seen it.
Okay. It is located down in Burlington, Wisconsin at Catholic Central High School. They have named it the Topper Bowl. And to me, it is everything that you think of when you think of, when you think of high school football, specifically if you think of a small town high school football, it is sunk down deep below the school, not below the school, but the level is lower than the actual school buildings. So it's like 15 feet below the road, surrounded with like landscaping of stones and bricks. And there's obviously such tradition there because Catholic Central has been such a good program that they have this massive board of conference championships and state championships. The players, the Catholic Central players, enter through a garage door. It's just the other team comes down a hill from the gym, from where they're getting ready for the game. It was fantastic. And they have two sides of stadium. They have two sides of bleacher. It's just what I was talking about. So it is fantastic. I had been for several years just to do features on the team. So I'd only seen them in practice, and the coach said, you got to get out to a game, got to get out to a game, and I never had. I think it was last year, week 9, they played St. Joe's, Kenosha St. Joe's, and I loved it. I was freezing. I was very cold because it was week 9, but oh my goodness, I thought it was just fantastic.
Yeah, I would love to see a game there. Burlington Catholic Central, very down this year in football, but that probably won't last long. They've built quite the empire in several sports over there, so they're sure to swing back upward sooner or later. My number one is not one of the smaller schools in the area. It's Oconomowoc High School, which is where I was this weekend. And this is would be a new entrant to the list. If we'd done this 3 or 4 years ago, it wouldn't have been on there. But Oconomowoc's natural advantage is that it is in a valley area. You sort of walk up to it and you could kind of look down into the stadium a little bit. But what they've done lately is really built up around it. The athletics fields have all been remodeled at Oconomowoc High School. It's been a huge capital project that they've worked on over the past few years. Which means Oconomowoc itself now, the football stadium has field turf, a video board, audio that they play way too loud, but that's a small thing. New scoreboard, new kind of a shed area where the team can go at halftime. I mean, everything is new. And then you throw in the fact that they've moved these bleachers to the end zone. So the students are in the end zone and the parents are kind of where they would normally be on one side. It does have two press boxes. It does have bleachers on both sides. The band kind of marches in sort of at the top level and then circles around and comes down on the track past, they go behind the bleachers and then in front of the bleachers and then, you know, file their way to the end zone where their seating arrangement is. Very, very cool vibe. And, Oconomowoc's success lately, they've really been a program on the rise over the last few years, really makes that place, it's fun. I think a lot of fans at Oconomowoc and students and teachers certainly remember what it was like to not have a football team competing for conference champions year in and year out. So there's a definite investment there for these fans.
Are those end zone bleachers in there year round, or maybe not year round, but season long?
Yeah, they're permanent now. They're permanent. They have put some temporary ones in there for the level 3 game last year against Arrowhead when they were able to host that football game, classic football game. And Kevin Flegner, the new athletic director who came from Arrowhead, now at Oconomowoc, decided, oh, let's just make that a permanent deal and move them over there and created what I was talking about, that sort of vibe, that college football vibe where you hear cheering coming from all directions.
Yeah, I think it's a good call on your part. I think I loved – the only time I've been was that Level 3 playoff game last year with Arrowhead and thought it was absolutely electric, absolutely fantastic. The way that the Arrowhead fans were on one – or students were at one end zone, Oconomowoc on the other was just – was amazing. And it was so full and it was such a good game that it was hard not to love it. So I agree. I wouldn't really put it in top five for me. I think it's definitely great. And even if it was in my top five, I would then deduct points and talk about how the parking was atrocious when I went for level 3 last year. Now, granted, that's because there were probably 3,000 fans. It's probably not like that for a game against Slinger. But the parking was atrocious when I went last year.
Yeah, that does not surprise me. It'd be a little bit of a walk. The stadium is kind of on one end of the parking lot. There isn't parking all the way around it, so you would definitely have to hoof it if you don't get there early. Another thing is there's kind of a church on one side of the stadium. It's not on near the campus really, but there are a lot of photos we take in the one end zone where you see kind of the steeple rising in the background as the sun is setting. So there's like, it's even got that whole picturesque vibe going too, which I also appreciate. As I'm looking at this, I can't believe Germantown High School didn't make our list. They had the at Dadka Stadium. They kind of had that archway, and there are other schools that do that as well. Oconomowoc does as well. I don't know. I guess 5 years ago I would have put it on the list. There's just a lot of stadiums that have been perked up in the meantime.
I like it. To me, it felt too old when I was there. Kind of didn't feel, and not in a classic or vintage way. So, I like every stadium. Every stadium has redeeming characteristics, but that, I thought about putting that up there, but didn't make it for me.
I'm sure there are many others that we're not even thinking about that are missing our list. But that's a good one.
That's just Milwaukee, and then for me, Appleton and Green Bay. I mean, I would love to go up, see what Hudson looks like, see what DC Everest looks like, see what all these other places look like. Because or maybe like out in the Platteville area and out west by La Crosse. I'm sure some of those are absolutely beautiful. Yeah. But alas, we have not seen them.
That's true. We should do a vacation trip, like Yay, JP and JR hit the road.
No,
that's a terrible idea. No. You only get 9 weeks out of the year. You don't have a lot of time to make this happen in the regular season.
Correct.
All right, JP, what do we got coming up on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel?
It's Friday night. We do not have a high school football game in Milwaukee.
What?
Instead, we have Marquette Madness, buddy.
Oh, boy.
College basketball has started. So Dennis Krause and I will be on the call at 7 o'clock, so you can get that
If you don't want to watch that, or if you don't want to listen to my voice, we will have a game from Northeast Wisconsin on our alternate channel 1310 instead.
Oh, that's cool. The push is continually updated. That's mycommunitynow.com/push. You can get updates on all things Milwaukee area football. Our player of the week this past week was Jake Simonczak of Simonczak. I actually don't even know how to say it.
Simonczak.
I should have known that.
Simonczak.
I think it's Simonczak. Wouldn't that make sense? Simonczak.
Yes.
Okay.
But why were you saying Simonczak? What's Simon, and how can you put it in the sack?
I don't know. Anyway, so the South Milwaukee quarterback/running back is racking up really just crazy rushing yards, had another monster game in a big win for South Milwaukee, especially in the Woodland Conference, JP, when there are six conference games. Your playoff fortunes can be headed in one direction, and then with one crazy win, take a complete 180. New Berlin West, I did not think they were making the playoffs. Then they beat Tosa West, and I was pretty sure they're going to be in. Tosa West, I was pretty sure at that point, is going to be out. Then they beat Pewaukee, and now I'm pretty sure they're going to be in, and they kind of got the advantage of this loophole situation where they actually get to play a weaker opponent than New Berlin West. New Berlin West beat Tosa West again, and Tosa West yet has technically the easier road to get that third win, which is going to get them in the playoffs. So that's a whole another podcast for another day, but there are a lot of teams where I just thought, yeah, they're not going to make it. Oh, they won that one game, now they're probably going to make it. It really is that it really can be that much of a difference, just one game.
Oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be real fun after Friday night to see where everybody's standing going into the final week of the regular season. I cannot wait.
Yep, it should be fun. And as I mentioned, check out my Preps Alcove. We talk a little bit about that, about the bracketing possibilities, as well as what we had going on last week.
Beautiful. Well, that was a lot of fun. I look forward to, we'll put this out on Twitter and see what other people say for their favorite stadiums. That was delightful. And I'm curious which ones we completely missed and which ones we thought about but didn't like that other people are going to swear by.
I know. We can open it up to fan interaction. That's not something we typically do, JP. We like to talk to ourselves. Beautiful. And not others.
Yeah. Well, it's best not to drag anybody else into our chaos.
That's true. All right, man.
All right.
Thanks.
Cutting it loose.
That's right. Thanks for joining me, man.
Beautiful. Hey, for you, anything. That has been Initial Reaction. Thank you guys for listening. And like we said, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what we missed.